Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Convert Your Speaker. On the broadcast today, we come to the end of our series of study on Christian renewal, and the subject which we wish to consider today is perhaps the most important of the entire series, namely, the renewal of our love. And we are speaking of our love for the Lord. In chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, we have the letters to the seven churches of Asia, which affords us a chronological picture of the church from its beginning in Acts until its rapture into the immediate presence of the Lord at the end of the church age. The first letter is to the church at Ephesus, which covers the period from the birthday of the church until the end of the first century. In the early days of the church, love prevailed. They sold all their goods and properties and shared equally in the proceeds. However, after the church was scattered through persecutions, this order of things ceased. After a few decades without the personal presence of the Lord on earth, the church settled down into a dead routine. Let's see from the scriptures themselves how the Lord's message to this church at Ephesus takes this into account. We're going to read in Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. Now, we would say, before we read the scriptures, that the word renewal, per se, is not mentioned in this portion of scripture that we're going to read today. Now, in the other scriptures that we've read, introducing our subjects, the word renewal is there, well, in various forms, renew, renewed, and renewing. The word, per se, renewal, is used. So we have a definite line of thought. Now, this is not true in Revelation chapter 2, but the underlying thought and what the Lord has to say expresses the word renewal more than if it were actually said. Well, let's read it. Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And of course that person was Christ. Here are his words. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, the word somewhat, and I'm reading from the Authorized Version, the word somewhat is in italics, means that it is supplied by the translators to smooth out the translation. Sometimes it's better to just leave the word out, and I'm going to read it without the word in there. Nevertheless, I have against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. It isn't that I have somewhat against thee, because that infers, by the use of the word somewhat, that it's not too important. But this is important. This is what the Lord says. Nevertheless, I have against thee, thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick, thy lampstand, out of his place, except thou repent. Now the Lord is after a renewal of that love. Now he doesn't say so per se, but he says, you repent. You loved me in the beginning of your history there at Ephesus. You loved me. But at the end of the first century, that love had just simply dwindled away in dead routine, as we've already stated. Now, this is a rebuke, and he wants these people to renew their love for the Lord. And he tells them so. He goes on commending them, but this thou hast, that thou hast the deeds, hatest rather, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. Now, listen to this, please. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, what he's saying to the churches can be absorbed by you and me. Did you notice the language? He that hath an ear, let him hear what he saith unto the churches. Now, this is true that you and I need this rebuke. And this is a rebuke. And the rebuke is so strong that the Lord threatens this church. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy lampstand, your testimony. Light is testimony. Out of his place, except thou repent. Two churches, in these seven churches to the Revelation, in Revelation, these seven churches, two of them are threatened with excommunication. One is Ephesus, and one is Laodicea, the last church and the first church. Now, why does the Lord mention this so much to these to these at Ephesus? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we see a vast contrast between what happened at Ephesus and what happened at Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul went to the church at Thessalonica. It was one of his first churches that is in Asia that he spoke to, that he went to, that he visited. Well, it wasn't a church when he visited, as a matter of fact. It was a synagogue. Well, let's read Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in to them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now they raised a persecution against Paul at Thessalonica and drove him away. And these dear Christians had only had 3 weeks with the Apostle Paul. Oh, how well they spent the time. 3 weeks he told them what there was in Christ. And after he was driven away from Thessalonica, he writes them this lovely letter, 1 Thessalonians. Here's what he has to say to them. Now, he's not been separated from them very long, but he longs to be with them. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need to not to speak anything. They had gone on for God. They loved the Lord. And Paul says, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to read what the Lord says about the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And you notice the difference, please. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, will you please notice that what in Thessalonica was a labor of love, here simply works of faith had simply become works. The faith was left out. The labor of love at Ephesus had simply become labor, and the patience of hope at Thessalonica at Ephesus had simply become patience. You see, the glory had departed. They had gone into dead routine. They were engaged in religious works. How sad. And the Lord said, I want you to repent. I want you to renew that love. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love, that early love, and oh, how that early love is beautiful. The book of the Song of Solomon treats of that early love. It's exciting material to read, the Song of Solomon. Early love as God has ordained it. The love of youth. And the Lord says, I miss that love to you at Ephesus. I miss that love. You know, back in the book of Jeremiah, we see this same tendency, the same cooling off of our love after that initial contact with the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, we read there, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, of course, Go and cry on the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord. All right, let's listen. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. This was the early days of their experience. They had not come into the promised land. Now, Jeremiah wrote centuries after they were in the promised land. Everything had cooled down. But when they were in the wilderness, there was nothing else there but the Lord. And the Lord says, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness. They didn't have anything else. So they went after the Lord. But you and I have so much to interfere, don't we? This world and all its progress, all the ways that we can spend our money, all the ways that we can enjoy life, life at its fullness. So they say, there is when you enter the state of Nebraska and go across the Missouri River, you read a sign as you travel on Interstate 80, the good life, the good life. And that's the life that we want, isn't it? But where is the Lord in it? You know what happened at Ephesus? What happened to the Christians, or what happened to the children of Israel after they got into the land and Jeremiah had to write them? Was a cooling down. Isn't that true of us? The Lord wants our love. May this letter to the church at Ephesus speak to our hearts, and may there be a renewal of that love to the one who loved us and died for us on a cross. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this study. We pray that it will get to our hearts, that our Lord may lift from our hearts that love that is rightfully his. In Christ's name, amen.